This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. After almost 30 years with the Boise Police Department, Chief Bill Bones will be retiring 3 weeks from today on October 24th. He has served as police chief since 2015. During this time, crime in the capital city dropped. He is the son and grandson of Oregon police officers. Chief Bones has spent his entire career with the Boise Police Department, and he is joining us live in studio to talk more about his time as chief and what is ahead in the future. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
So my first question is, I heard that you had no plans of becoming a police officer when you were growing up.
That's absolutely true.
Okay, so what changed your mind all of a sudden?
Well, you know, when you grow up and your dad's a police officer and you see those call outs mm-hmm. in the middle of the night and being gone, and being a police officer back then, I would say, was even tougher maybe in some areas than it is today. It's not something you aspire. You're like, that's not the life I want. But there's this point you hit, and when life becomes real, I was about to graduate from college and looking at what the path that I was following, and I realized that's not what I want to do. I really do want to be out there in the field. Didn't realize what an impression my father and grandfather had made on me, but they planted a seed that I just couldn't get rid of.
So you joined the Boise Police Department in 1992.
I did.
As a patrol officer?
Brand new officer right out of college. Only life experience I had was fighting fires in the summers and hopped into this profession.
What was it like in the beginning like that? I mean, even though you had grown up seeing your dad and your granddad, it still got to be different when you're actually doing the job.
Yeah, you know, you come into this job, obviously people want to make a difference. They want to help others. They want to be part of the team. But you cannot understand what it means to be a police officer till you really put on that badge and other officers begin to train you and teach you and show you what you need to do. It's one of those things nobody would truly understand until they've walked in mm-hmm. those shoes.
And you've actually commanded three separate divisions. We're talking, well, patrol, criminal investigations, and internal affairs.
Yes, I was very lucky. I had great mentors throughout the department, and the department is one of those, I was a young, dumb kid, extremely naive.
Yes.
I'm still shocked that I got hired. I don't think with today's hiring standards I would have made it through. And I say that honestly. Our standards are so high now. But I was given an opportunity not just to become an officer, but throughout my career, the police department, the city really gave me a lot of opportunities to grow and mentor me. And I'm deeply appreciative of that.
Well, in the time that you have been in the department, I mean, if we go back to like the late 90s, there were some police officer-involved shootings. There were things that have happened within the department that have had an impact on our city.
Those had a deep impact on our city, on our department, and a deep impact on who I am today. It really, we're not the same department we were back then, and our relationship with the community has changed so much. Those were difficult times to be a Boise police officer. We went through it was just a circumstance, but mm-hmm. really the opinion and the relationship that existed within the community, that was probably at the lowest point of trust we had and the toughest time in my career that it's ever been to be a police officer. But you've really seen a department reach out in the last two decades to build that relationship, to say we can be a better police department. And the way we do that is building a relationship and becoming a partner with the community that we serve.
And in 2015, when you became chief, you made kind of a list of goals. And I believe one of the things you really wanted to work on was this issue of police brutality, because there was a concern that we don't want to become one of those departments.
My major concern was nationally we were seeing cases where a police officer had done something wrong or perceived to do something wrong either or, and it was destroying the trust and relationships that existed in communities. And a couple of years ago here, we hit the lowest level of national trust that we had between the communities of America and our police officers. And you could see that coming 5 years ago. And that's the road I didn't want to go down. We have an extremely professional department. The officers do a great job, but we're put in that same catalyst. When you see an officer from 300 miles away or 10 states away, you perceive the profession the same. And we have really worked hard to not just be professional, but to be transparent, whether it's through the on-body video, interactions with the community, bringing the community into the police department. and having a voice in our policy and our procedures, and letting people see the type of officers that are here and understand that we're not here to police the city. We're here to provide police services to those that bring and empower the officers into that position. And that's a responsibility we have to serve.
So talk to me about the on-body video, because that was on your list when you came in as chief.
It was. And what I've got to say is, you know, nationally, some of the different departments, the unions have really opposed
There's
that.
Differing views about this.
Yes, but I got to give it to the men and women of the Boise Police Union. They stepped up to the plate and said, no, we see the value of this. We see this as a positive. And they really worked cooperatively for us. And we were able to institute that in essentially record time. It was doing all the behind the work. Mary Anderson, one of our civilian managers, did a ton of lift to get that in mm-hmm. place. But it's been a great tool because it creates that transparency. It's accountability for us, but it also lets us, when somebody perceived that something went wrong or it went wrong, we can lay down and say, okay, let's sit down and look at this exactly what happened. It's a training tool for us. When we do something wrong, what can we do better? When we did something right, how do we repeat that? Just a great evolution for policing across the state.
Well, and you talk about transparency. And when you have video, you really cannot try to spin that.
No, you know, you do have to be careful because it's a video camera. It doesn't capture everything, but it's a great representation. And when you're dealing with a police officer, that's a stressful moment. I don't care if it's just a traffic ticket. It's very stressful when those red and blue lights come on behind you.
Hate that. I'm not that it's ever happened. No. Not that I've ever gotten pulled over for a speeding ticket.
Hey, I've been pulled over a couple times. It's stressful for me. But to be able to sit down with somebody and go over that video about how that conversation went, it mm-hmm. sometimes changes somebody's perception from it being a very negative moment to very positive when you're able to sit down on the back end. And for us, trust is the foundation of effective policing in the community, and anything that we can do to build trust is something that creates a positive and a safer community. And transparency and the on-body video, the Office of Police Oversight, our own internal affairs, all of those are ways to create transparency and build that foundation of trust. And we believe that we're at the highest level of trust we've ever had in the police department. That's one of the things we're most proud of. And that's every single contact an officer or one of our civilian staff makes day in, day out is what's building that trust.
What is on the list that you wish you've been able to accomplish and did not get a chance to?
You know, there's always more. We've really worked to build relationships to communities that didn't have a deep relationship with the police department, but I'd like to make those deeper. And we believe that tailored policing, district policing, getting the officers spread out across the community, and we're making steps to that. We'll be building the district station here next year. You know, I would love to get a deeper dive into tailored policing. Specifically building the type of policing for the community. You see a great example with the bike unit, mm-hmm. the way that they interact with all of the populations downtown, whether you're there for dinner or you're maybe homeless or you're just a visitor passing through, those interactions they have every day on the green belt, that's a tailored policing because of the type of policing that's needed.
And they're friendly.
Oh,
I mean, they are. Like, you wave at them. Like, they're friendly.
They're a great group, and that's repeated across the agency. Whether it's, you know, our victim witness coordinators, our special victims unit, our motor officers. I have motor officers that write tickets, and people write commendations back for them, the way they treated them when they gave a citation. That's the mark of an incredible police department. So the men and women that you have here in Boise that make up this department, I don't think any community could ask for better. Certainly no chief could ask for better. It's more than I could have ever deserved to be able to part of that.
So I think when you made the announcement late last month that you were retiring, it came as a surprise to the community, but it was not a surprise to you and your family.
No, I don't think inside the department and those community members that had a closer relationship knew this was coming. I'd originally planned on retiring earlier last year. The mayor talked me into staying for a little while, and we had a couple things that we needed to finish up. And I had targeted September 15th, but that came and went. My wife and I have really been, we love Boise and we will be back, but we have an opportunity to go wander around the world for a few years. And we've been planning for that for quite a while, and we're going to take advantage and do that while we can. I've got no grandkids yet. I know when that happens, I'm back here to stay.
Right. Well, and I think, too, I mean, you did reach the age of eligibility in May of 20 to retire in May of 2018.
Yeah, so it's been on our plans for a long time. The real thought, I'd thought about going on to take on another job, but we've just got this neat opportunity. I have loved, as Boise has grown in diversity and meeting people and seeing people from around the world, we've been able to do some international travel, and the chance to go do that for a couple, 3 years is, mm-hmm. is a little hard to pass up. It's kind of like winning the lottery.
And is there something to be said, too, about leaving on a high note, leaving when you're not burnt out? Because we know that police officers, first responders, there is a burnout that comes along with this.
It's a tough job. And I for every man, woman that serves on the police department, and I not just those that wear a badge, but those that are in our civilian staff, it takes a toll. They're dealing with the hardest situations. You don't call a police officer in your best moment. And they take that on every day. You know, as a chief, it's hard, but I can't compare that to somebody that's dealing with victims of sexual assault or children or ICAC detective. What they do day in and day out is so deeply impressive, and it's been an honor to serve with them. But I can't take credit for it, but the men and women of this department have definitely contributed, as has the city, to having the lowest crime rate we've ever had, to building the trust that we have, and that's a good moment to go out. But best of all, the next generation, the leaders in this department, the sergeants, the officers, right down to our newest officers they're interviewing this morning. I'm hearing about the quality of them. You have a great police department, and the city is in fantastic hands.
And we should note that former police chief Mike Masterson will be the interim chief while they do a nationwide search.
And I had been recruiting him for a while, but I think he's a great great mentor to me. Obviously, I followed in his footsteps in the past that we've done as far as the department, and having him come in, I think, gives us great continuity into that next police chief. But no matter what, the men and women of this department are anchored in, and you're not going to see the level of policing change.
Thank you so much for coming in. Good luck on your retirement.
Well, thank you, Gemma. Thank you, Boise.
We've been speaking with Boise Police Chief Bill Bones about his upcoming retirement. This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette.